If you would, look at James 1:17. It says, every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. Let's pray together. Will you bow with me? Tell the Father that you love him today from your heart to his. May he hear from his children. And then let your prayer move to being grateful, to being thankful. Who he is, what he does, what he leads you through, what he reveals to you. Give thanks. Take a moment and pray for people who overlap into your life, people that he has put on your heart and your mind. Lift them up, their name, their situation to our Heavenly Father. You came here with your needs today. Give them to the Lord. They could be spiritual direction, discernment. It could be emotional wounds that you're dealing with. It could be finances. It can be physical. It can be in need of Christian relationships. Make your request known to him today. If you will, take a moment and pray for those around you. Pray a blessing over them. And if your family here is great, that's awesome. But if they're not here, pray for them no matter where they are. Pray a blessing over your family. We came here today and we gave, even an offering we gave, and we asked the Lord to bless it. But we offer our lives to him as well as living sacrifices for him to be able to use. So just even quietly say that, Lord, my life is an offering to you. The work that you begin in us, you will see to completion. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you see all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher, I'm your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in this room in this hour. And I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. Happy Father's Day to you out there. I know Father's Day can be difficult for some people. I understand that. God blessed me with a great earthly father. I know everybody can't say that, and I'm grateful, but it's been a long time. My dad's been dead for 34 years, but in that time, what a blessing. But I also want to say bonus dads, like my son Andrew is a bonus dad. He has two daughters, but married Maria and has Charlotte and Gwen. And I called my bonus dad this morning, meaning people, a man who's been like a dad to me. God's given me many of those folk. And I was talking to him and thanking him for what he means today. So whatever capacity, happy Father's Day to you all out there. I picked James 1:17 because we're going to talk about the Father. And James puts emphasis on our Heavenly Father. And we're going to go through James 1 and look at that for just a moment. But before we do, I want you to see how much Jesus placed in his teaching about our Heavenly Father. In Matthew 6, we have the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And in that, he says, we come to him as Father or Daddy, Abba Father, which is, Abba is a more intimate relationship. It's a more daddy relationship than it is the technical father look. In Luke 15, There's the teaching of Luke and the story of Jesus about the prodigal son. And legally, the son gets his inheritance early and he goes and wastes it all. And then he sees where he is and he's like, I need to go back home, but I can't go back home as a son, but I'm going to go back home as a servant. And he goes back home. Well, the father has been looking for him. His father's been looking for him all this time. And when he sees his son, he runs to his son. Now, that's not a big deal to me and you, but in their day, that father, that patriarchal father, didn't run anywhere. It would have meant something different to them than it does to us. The patriarchal dad, everybody ran to him. He didn't run to anybody. And so in the story of the prodigal son, Jesus is teaching that the father goes to the son. Now, you all help me here. Scripture says, when you draw near to God, what's the other half of that? That he draws near to you. And it's a picture that even matches the Luke 15 story of the prodigal son. We have the father running to his son. And we also know, no matter what our situation is or has been, when it comes to earthly fathers, Scripture teaches us that he is a father to the fatherless. And we're going to look at our Heavenly Father today and see who he is and even who he isn't in James' writing. So we're going to encourage you always to go spend time with the Father. It's a reoccurring theme of our church and my preaching. Remember, we use the word trust beginning in January. You're going to hear that a lot. And it's only half the year, so we've used it quite a bit. We're going to continue to use it. But I'm going to teach you how to be able to trust your Heavenly Father. So let's dig into James 1:5. In James 1:5, we want to be able to see the giving nature of our Lord. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously without criticizing, and it will be given to him. Now this, listen, if you haven't studied for your calculus test, this is not going to work, okay? We're not talking about academic laziness wanting academic excellence, all right? That you haven't studied and God's going to give you the answers to the test. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about heavenly wisdom. How to handle things in our life. Things that you and I have big question marks about. How do we handle this? He says, if you lack wisdom, and we're referring to heavenly wisdom, ask God, he gives it generously. And I want you to see just even the middle of that verse where it says he gives generously to all of us that are looking for wisdom. Look at James 3:13-18 for just a moment. I'm going to walk you through these verses. It has to do with heavenly wisdom. These verses are also sparking a series that I'll be doing this fall on the difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. It says, who is wise and has understanding among you? Who should show his works by good conduct with wisdom's gentleness? He should show his works by good conduct with wisdom's gentleness. And it says that wisdom is gentle, verse 14. It says, but if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't brag and lie in defiance of the truth. Verse 15, such wisdom does not come from above. And remember that phrase, from above. It's not heavenly, but it's earthly. It's sensual, which really means sexual. And it's demonic. Verse 16, for where envy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every kind of evil. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above, remember that from above, is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without favoritism, without hypocrisy. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. We're seeing here that he gives us wisdom and he gives us heavenly wisdom, not earthly wisdom, but he gives it to us generously. You may be going through a situation and you don't know what the kingdom response is. This is what all this is talking about. I go to the Father, I go to his word, and we'll find out what it is and how we should react with heavenly wisdom when it comes to that. I saw a couple that was headed off for vacation yesterday, and I said, they're young, and you know, they can't wait to get away. And I said, don't try to cram too much stuff in too little time. And that's what we do. I say it all the time. I watch you all do it. I even warn you not to do it, and I still watch you do it. It's just, we've got this little bit of time. Let's just cram all this activity into it. I said, go and just give it a good rest. You know, don't do too much. I want you to see the giving nature of our Lord, not our Heavenly Father, not only of wisdom, but John 3:16, we know this verse. And it's a picture of his giving. For God loved this world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. He's giving. Do you see that? For God so loved this world in this way, he gave. He gave his best, which is Jesus, for us when we were at our worst. That's how giving he actually is. I still want you to see the picture of his giving nature. Look at Ephesians 4:11. This is what he does for the church. And he, our Heavenly Father, personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. I want you to see, and he personally gave. I often teach you, when you give is when you most resemble your Heavenly Father. Now, am I talking about money? Yes, because if you're not careful, money will have your heart. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. But your time and your talents, just everything you did in Bible school this last week and what everyone did, we do it and we give, because when we give in whatever way we give is when we most resemble our Heavenly Father. Why? Because he has a giving nature. He's a good father because he gives. Look at James 1:13 through 15. I've spent a lot of time here. I will continue to spend a lot of time here. Let's read through the verses. No one undergoing a trial should say, I am being tempted by God, for God is not tempted by evil. He himself doesn't tempt anyone. Verse 14. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desires. Verse 15. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. What I want you to be able to see here is that we have a Father that rescues us. Look at verse 13, and here's a comparison that James is getting ready to do. He hasn't done it all yet, not all the comparison, but he's getting ready to. He's telling you what God isn't. And here in just a moment, he's going to tell us what God is. But what God isn't, he isn't a tempter of sin. Look at verse 13. No one undergoing a trial should say, I am being tempted by God, for God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. He came to undo this. He didn't come to do this. He came to undo it. He came to rescue us out of that pattern. Now, he will test us. There are times he will test us, but it's not meaning that he will tempt us. And look at verse 14. We are tempted when we begin to draw away. And I've said this, I'll continue to say this. You're going to go, Jeffro, get on something else, and I am not going to get on something else. Because the first thing that happens, I'm telling you this as a loving pastor, the first thing that happens is you will start drifting away from the Word of God, the people of God, the house of God. That's the first step in you getting into a trap, all right? And you're going, I don't believe you. Well, I'm telling you, I've observed this for a long, long time. Long time. The first thing the enemy will do to our life is to draw us away, and we're able to drift away. And he's enticing. The enemy's enticing us. But it says we are enticed by our own evil desires. God gave you desires, but he intends for you to use them in a way that brings glory to him, not in a way that dishonors him. We don't want to use our desires in a God in a way that honors us or whatever we're going through in our rebellion. We don't do that. We use them in a God-honoring way and not in a way that doesn't bring honor to Him. So we have these desires. You just have to decide which way you're going to use them. And we want to do it in a way that brings honor to Him. And he said, but the way it starts happening is that we are drawn away. Look at verse 15. I call these the steps to disaster. Verse 15. Then after desire, and let me tell you, temptation is not the sin. Temptation is only the enticement. It is when our desire has been conceived and then we move on it. That's when it's become sin. It gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. And these are the steps to disaster, which leads by first of all being drawn away. He's a good heavenly Father because He came to rescue us. He desires to stop this process at all costs. At all costs. And it did cost Him. It cost Him Jesus, His own Son. So He's a good Father because He desires to rescue us. When I get on the drifting away part, I want you to get it. Are you saying, you're going to say to me, are you saying, hey, preacher, are you talking about drifting away from Sunday morning? I am. I really am. Because we need the reminder. You hear me? We so quickly forget. And we need the reminder. We need to come celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, and we need the reminder of who He is and what He does and how He's with us. You need that constantly because we so quickly forget. Tomorrow I've got some cardio stuff I've got to do, and I haven't been for a while because of Meemaw and Papaw situations. And so I've got to do the treadmill and all that stuff and all those tests tomorrow. And I can't have caffeine. I can't have any caffeine in today at all. And I usually don't. I don't have much caffeine in my life. But strict instruction, no caffeine today. So there's a little drink I call, and Amy and Julie are going to laugh at this. It's called Bai, B-A-I, and it's a 10-calorie drink, and it's got a little bit of caffeine in it. So I knew I couldn't have them today. So on the way here, I called Raymond Smith, who's one of my bonus dads in my life, and I wanted to thank him for what he means to me and how God placed him in my life. And so when I get off the phone with him on the way here, I'm going, I need to stop by the office to get some water to drink today. And I said it three times. I need to stop by the office and get some water. I need to stop by the office and get some water. I need to stop by the office and get some water, okay? And as soon as I pull in here, I pulled in my regular parking spot and I forgot to go to the office to get some water. And I had just said that to myself. I can be talking to Logan or Amy on the phone and I get so frustrated because I'm talking to them and I'll miss where I'm supposed to go. I miss a turnoff, and I'm doing this with Bluetooth. I'm watching, but evidently not good enough. So I forget. Listen, our drifting away happens so fast, and in that drifting away, you will forget. We need this right here. Do you hear me? It's not a rule keeping thing. It's not a checkbox on a clipboard. You know, it is. We need the reminder of who He is and who we are. How quickly we forget, don't we? How quickly we're able to forget. He's a good Father because He gives. He's a good Father because He desires to rescue us from this pattern. He came to pull us out of this pattern. Look at James 1:16. He says, don't be deceived. My dearly loved brothers, meaning our family, don't be deceived in this. Don't be deceived that God is the instigator of tempting you. It's a dangerous zone that we get in when we see sinful behavior, actions, and expressions, and we attach them to God. That's a dangerous place. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived when the world rolls you real good and you blame God for it. It becomes an enemy trick. And the picture of this is, I think that's when the enemy belly laughs at all of us. Because John says in 1 John, the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. And when the enemy does things to us, we get mad at God for it. I think that's when the enemy gives us a huge belly laugh. Because James is trying to get you to see who God isn't. God isn't tempting you with sin. He's not putting you in a place for sin to capture you. In fact, Paul writes, he gives you a way of escape. He gives you a way of escape. We even sang a while ago that when temptation comes our way, that the verse right before that is, my song will rise to you. Guys, when you see temptation coming your way, recognize it and then turn it into a godly situation. Remember, temptation's not the sin, but it does give birth. You will act on it and it gives birth to more and more sin. So one way to do it is to praise your way through that, is to remember scripture. Ask a brother or sister to be able to help you. He's saying don't be deceived into thinking that God is tempting you with sin. He's not doing that whatsoever. He's a good father because he wants us to be aware and to be ready. I had a great dad. My dad was a pastor, and I don't expect you to know anything about pastor life. Some of you in here have been there. My life is always an interruption. It's just always my family. I grew up as a preacher's kid. And like last night, I went to the office and I was planning out my week. I've got a way that I do that, and I keep it on my desk Monday through Saturday, or actually through Sunday. And I had planned it out, and I got a text, and that one text changed the week. Changed the week. Now, I'm not upset about it. That's my life. It just becomes a life of interruptions. So when I was a little boy, I loved being with my dad. And my dad was a hunter. My dad was a quail hunter. We had pointers and setters, and we used to go. I used to go with him. My boots were too big and wear blisters on my feet, you know, but I didn't care because I wanted to be with my dad. I really did want to be. And I knew if I had him out there in the woods, then nobody else had him. You know, I had him. And I wanted to be with him. But I can remember we would try to do family things together, and this is just how busy my dad was. I don't want you to think I'm mad at him. I'm not mad at him. But like if we planned to go camping, and we'd go camping for a Friday and a Saturday or something, so we would spend a lot of time that we could have been on the trip, we would spend a lot of time getting our stuff together, just trying to find it. So if Greg Scott or Steve Schrock or somebody like that calls me up and says, you want to go shoot sporting clays, and I've got a chance to go get it, I want everything ready. You see what I'm saying? And at my home, we were taking most of our time that we could have done the event getting everything ready for the event. So if you come into my home, in my garage specifically, I'm the king of tubs. I've told you that. They're labeled, they're put out there, and it's all together. Everything's all together. I've got my turkey tubs, I've got my duck hunting tubs, I've got all that stuff together, because when I have a chance to do this, I want everything to be there so that I don't spend up unnecessary time trying to find it. You with me? And I've harped on this. I'm not going to say I've led my kids, but I have harped on our children. Just be ready. Just have everything together of where it needs to be. Like if it's the bar and chain oil from a chainsaw, well, then I want it near the chainsaw. I don't want it somewhere else, you see? And I think the Lord, he's telling us this through the writing of James. Don't be deceived. And so quickly you will think that bad things are happening and you're attributing it to God. Be careful in that, but don't be ignorant. Be ready and be aware of what temptation is. Don't live paranoid of it either. But be aware that temptation may be happening to you. I say this at every funeral. Death is gain to the believer that's gone on to be with the Lord because they're no longer tempted by sin. You and I, if we live here, we have the chance of being tempted by sin. But have it all together so that when you see the temptation, you know what it is and you know how to escape it. You're aware. He's a good father because he wants us to be aware and ready for what is headed our way. He wants us to be ready for that. James 1:17. It says, every generous act and every perfect gift is from above. Remember I told you, remember from above? We use that a lot. James uses that a lot. From above, coming down from the Father of lights, with him there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. Here's the comparison that James does. Instead of God being evil, meaning the temptation, that's not who he is, he's showing you who he is now. And he's telling you every generous act and complete gift you've ever gotten came from the Father, every one of them. I often say at funerals too, he's the God of all mercy and comfort. And any comfort, listen, the enemy's not into bringing you comfort. He's not into that. Everything that has brought you comfort in your life has come from the Father. All of it. So he's not evil. He's good. He's good and he's generous. He's a father that gives. He's a father that rescues. He's a father that wants us to be aware and ready to go. And I don't believe in luck. You know, I believe in blessing. I don't believe in luck. I do believe every coach has used this, hard work meets opportunity. I get that. I agree with that. But I don't believe in luck. And here, James says that all that has happened to us that is good and complete comes from above. And you and I use this language all the time, from above. We know that if it's of God, it comes from above. If it's of the enemy, it comes from below. And James puts that language even in our own culture that we live in, that it's from above, that meaning that heaven itself and the firmament and everything that he has created. Look at Psalm 136, 7 and 9. In Psalm 136, the psalmist is writing about seeing the heavens and all of its glory. He made the great lights. His love is eternal. Or you may have memorized that as his love endures forever. Verse 8 says, the sun rule by day. The moon and the stars rule. Wait a minute, there we go. The sun to rule by day, his love is eternal. Verse 9, it said the moon and the stars to rule by night, his love is eternal. Switch it to verse 9, if you will. His love is eternal. It is talking about everything that's in the sky. You and I live in cities, big and small. We live in subdivisions where there's artificial light. But if you've grown up in the country like I have, where there's no artificial light, and I can remember as a boy just seeing the stars in their incredible beauty, of knowing that he put that together. And that's what James is saying here, that just as he put the firmament together, he puts all the generous acts that he has ever done, he puts all of that together. Please remember that today. Every good and complete thing that's ever happened to you in your life came from the Father. It came from him. He has creation and he has creation power. And he's able to put that in. And here's what James is trying to say, that he never changes. Go back to verse 17, James 1:17. He never changes. The God that called Abraham is still the God that deals with us. You and I live in a culture and a world when it comes to faith. I'm not saying our faith, but faith. And that is that God needs to catch up to the 21st century. He needs to start living in the year 2024. I just want you to know he lives beyond the year 2024. I want you to know that he's a good father because he never ever changes. And speaking of a change, I got a text. Julie and I got a text last night. Our son, our biological son, your son in the ministry, Andrew is teaching at Jonathan Creek. And so he texts me. He's the pastor there this week. And he texts me. He said, what a world. He texts his mom and me. And he said, First Baptist Russell Springs youth group is here. And that's one of the churches that I pastored and he grew up in for a little time. And I said, well, tell them that we love them. So he texts back and he said, Josh Root is a chaperone. Well, Josh Root, he was a booger when he was a kid, you know? And I started laughing. I started laughing at that. Because when I was pastor there and we went to camp, I used to have to assign one chaperone alone for Josh Root. And now he is a chaperone there over some of the students, and it made me laugh. Listen, our God never changes, but we do, don't we? And that's what he wants to bring in us is change, not to make us better, but to make us new. That's what he does in making us new, just as he placed the firmament where it is, the sun and the moon and the stars and all of its beauty. How he gave that to us is how he gives us good things. He's a good father. But he's a good father because he doesn't change with the times. The promises of Abraham and of Moses and of Noah and of David, and it goes on and on. The promises that he gave them are still the same promises that he gives us today. He's a good father because he never changes. Look at James 1:18. It says, by his own choice, he gave us, see, he's still giving, a new birth by the message of truth so that we would be the first fruits of his creation. His choice and his desire is to make you new, to make you born again, to living a kingdom life. And it's our greatest gift. If you and I never receive another blessing, the word and the work of Jesus is enough. Him dying on the cross is enough. And so we become his first fruits. That's what it says in this verse. We become the first fruits. As Christians, as believers, as followers. You see the comparison here? He's not evil. God's not evil. He doesn't want sin leading you to death and separation. He's a good father. And he wants the word of God and the work of Jesus to lead you to a brand new life of faithfulness and fruitfulness. He's a good father because he brings life to us, new life and fruitful life. In closing, I'm not going to have you sing this, or I'm not having Logan lead this to you. I'm just going to say it. It's the doxology. And so if you get in a rhythm with me, that's fine. If you want to just say it to yourself, that's fine. But I want you to, as we begin it, it says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. He's a good father. He gives. He's a good father because he desires to rescue us. He's a good father because he wants you to be aware and ready. He's a good father. He never changes. His promises are true. And he's a good father because he brings newness to our life. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Let's pray. Father, I pray over our people today. Any decision they need to make in their life, any rededication or renewal in their life, Lord, any of it, any surrender to your grace and your mercy, Father, we open it up for people to respond. And Lord, help us to remember that you are a God who came to rescue us and not to bind us to the nature of sin, but to set us free. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father, your good Father. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, stand with me if you will. Counselors, find your spot if you will. And the invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come.